yesterday. I probably should have preached this before we had our big days, but you'll understand when I give you the title. The title is How to Handle a Big Day. So we're going to look at what the Bible says about some different things and our responses to having these different big events and these different things that God's doing in our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 33 here is at the end of life for Jacob, and he had gone over his different things for his sons. Here he talks to Joseph, and he's telling some things to Joseph in verse number 13. The Bible says, "And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren." Let's pray and we'll get into the message. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, help us. Help us to understand this passage. Help us, Lord, to understand what our responses ought to be when we have big events and how we ought to be able to respond in a proper manner. I understand, Lord, yes, it can be tiring, it can be exhausting. But God, I pray you to help us to dig in and to get some of this truth tonight. Use us, guide us, please. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. I want you to notice from verses 13 to 16, he mentions several different things about the blessings that are going to be on Joseph's life. And now here we notice the Bible says, and of Joseph he said, blessed be the Lord of his land. Blessed of the Lord be his land. For the precious things of heaven, for the dew, for the deep, the couch beneath. So here he's saying that Joseph's going to have blessings on the land wherein he possesses. And then for the precious fruit, the Bible says in verse 14, brought forth by the sun, and the precious things put forth by the moon. Now, if you look back in Joseph's life, you'll find that early in life he had a dream about the stars and the moon and the sun, and how the stars would and the moon would bow down to him, and the stars and the suns would bow down to him. And so here in context, when we apply that dream that he had before, this blessing is not just the fruit that's brought forth in the land and on the ground, but rather the fruit that was brought forth in his life because of his mom and his dad. Because his dad was the sun, his mom was the moon in that dream. Okay? And so we understand that here he had some different blessings that came into his life because of his upbringing, because of his raising, because of the things that his parents had done for him. And then it says, for the chief things of the ancient mountains, for the precious things of the lasting hills. And so here he's got several things that happened in his life, and that would, we could make some application. It would not be a stretch of the scripture at all to make some applications of different things that were erected in his life and different ones that were would have been stalwarts or would have been pillars in his life, even different people in his life that had invested in him. And you'll notice in verse 16, for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Then notice it says, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph. So here his dad is telling him, I want your life to be blessed, and I want you to partake of the blessings that God has for you. But then notice he says, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. There's several aspects of this passage that can kind of be a little bit of a head scratcher when we begin to look at certain things and we begin to kind of break down some of the truths that are here. Let me break down some of this and then we get into the message real quick. Let me give you a little bit of the introduction and then we'll break this down. Now understand, as far as churches are concerned, as far as ministries are concerned, anybody can have a big day in a church. But not everybody can handle it properly. You say, how do you know that? Well, look at the attendance tonight compared to this morning. Okay, not everybody can handle big days properly. Not everybody can handle the blessings of God in the proper manner. Many a times, having a big day, you know, we've had several of them over the past several years. Many a times, much bigger than the day we had today even. Many a times, big days can be exhausting. Many a times, big days can be exhilarating. Sometimes you may even feel like the big day might never end, right? And we've all been there. It's endless and it just keeps going.
And then you go home and you take a nap. You're like, oh, we got church tonight too. But what do? You dig in and you come back to church because you understand the importance of having your family in the house of God. Now, having big events and having a big outreach is very taxing, but the whole purpose is based on what the message we preached this morning, the salvation of souls. The whole purpose is the souls of mankind. Now, here Joseph is told about the blessings that were going to come in his life. And he was told that these blessings were going to come and that he needed to learn how to handle these blessings. Let me explain them to you. Okay, here in verse number 13. Here there's things that were mentioned that they're precious things that would come to him. And then there's a phrase at the very end of verse number 13, and for the deep that couches beneath. Now you read this and you're like, what does that even mean? What is he even talking about? Here he's talking about the precious things of heaven. He's talking about the dew upon the grounds. He's talking about how God provides in all of these different areas. Well, you study it out and you'll find the deep that couches beneath. This is referring to some things that were in his life that were deep wells that they would draw from. Okay? So here in the land that he was in, there were times where the blessings would come. There was time where the rainwaters would come and the wells would fill and the deep that couches beneath or the reservoir that was underneath the ground would begin to fill up and he would be able to draw from that well during all the different droughts that they would go through, during all the different difficult times that they would begin to face in their life. Now listen, in your life, you've got to have a deep that couches beneath. You've got to have something in your life that is a deep well that you can draw from for that added strength, for that added nourishment, for that unction to be able to go forward for the cause of Christ. Listen, we cannot serve God in and of our own strength. We cannot live this Christian life in and of our own power. We've got to have a power that is bigger than us, and that is the Holy Spirit of God that dwelleth inside of us. But there's got to be something deep inside of you that helps you to have that unction to push forward. Many of you are going through some trials in your current life. There's some decisions that are being made. And those trials would break anybody else. But you've got to have a deep that couches beneath. You've got to have a well that you draw from. Listen, when the blessings of God come in your life, you don't take and look at those blessings of God and just soak up all the blessings of God and then use them all at once. No, no, you reserve the blessings of God and you take in all the blessings of God. And then sometimes later on in life, when it seems like you're going through a drought spiritually, you begin to be reminded of the blessings that God gave you and you pull from that well and you pull from that deep that couches beneath and you pull from that place where God has blessed you before and you remember the goodness of God in the dark times that you face. Now here Joseph was going to go through some dark times. Joseph was a young man who was raised in a home where he was one of the most beloved of the children. So much so that his dad made him a special coat. Joseph and his coat of many colors. Many of you know the story. He had made them this coat. Because of that, he began to have these different visions, began to have these different dreams. God began to work in his life in a way that God did not show himself in the lives of others. Now listen, there's going to be some times where God may give you some extra special blessings and God may work in your life in ways that he's not working in somebody else's life. And what's going to happen is those other people that see the blessings that come, those other people that see God working in your life, they're going to begin to get jealous. That's what Joseph's brothers did. They began to get jealous of him. They began to connive of some things and some ways that they can get back at their brother for the things that he was saying. Everything he was saying was true. Everything he was saying was accurate. Everything he was saying came from God. That didn't stop him from saying it. And that didn't stop them from getting mad about it. Because people will get mad at the truth. People will get upset at the very word of God. But here he had to learn how to handle these blessings. He had to learn how to be able to draw from that deep well that was filled when he was young, whenever he was going through the dark times of being a prisoner and being sold as a slave and being there in Potiphar's house as a servant and then being cast into prison because somebody had lied about his testimony. And then from there, he was forgotten about when he tried to help the baker and the butler and he tried to help all those that were around him. He was forgotten about. He was neglected. He could have fallen into a state of depression, but instead, he stayed faithful. He was put as a captain over all of those that were in the prison. And then after that, he was exalted to a high place there in the palace and in the kingdom. simply because he didn't let one difficult task define him. He didn't let, listen, he didn't let one big day define him. Now, we're not defined by our darkest moments, but we're also not defined by our best moments either. We are defined by our consistency in the midst of it all. Okay? And that's where our Christian life has to be. My youth director used to always teach us all the times. He says, you're going to have some mountaintops and you're going to have some high highs. And you're going to have some valleys and you're going to have some low lows. But what we need to learn how to do is we need to learn how to bring those valleys up to where they're stable and bring those mountains to where they're stable. And we're not going up and down as a roller coaster as far as Christianity is concerned. Okay? Where I'm on top of the mountaintop and God is so good to me. And then next week or 2 days later, God, what are you doing? Why do you hate me so much? Right? We experience those things. But we need to learn how to be even killed in our lives. We need to learn how to be consistent with the blessings of God. We need to learn how to draw from the deep that couches beneath, from that place, that reservoir of blessings because of what God has given us. We need to learn to be able to draw from that during the difficult times. Here, there's three things I want you to understand in reference to having big days and having great experiences and experiencing the blessings of God in our lives. I want you to understand God is blessing our church. God is blessing your church. God is blessing us in multiple ways in countless different areas. But understand this, if we don't handle the blessings properly, then the blessings may cease. We've got to be able to steward well the blessings that God has given us. Meaning that we don't take them for granted. And meaning that we don't count all of our chickens before they hatch and count all of our eggs when they're in one basket in that area. No, no, we still got to understand that God is going to bless us and God is going to use our church and God is going to let us be that light, that beacon that is set on the hill. But there's going to be some times where we may go through some difficult trials. But as a church, we've got to remain consistent. We've got to remain faithful to the cause of God during those times. We've got to have a well that we can draw from. We've got to have a deep that couches beneath. We've got to have something in our lives that is much bigger than us ourselves. Because the ministry is not about us. It's about others. And so here, three things I want you to understand tonight. First, when it comes to a big day, we need to understand and we need to learn how to bear fruit properly. We need to learn how to bear fruit properly. Now, this comes from understanding, and this comes from God's wisdom. Joseph here was given divine understanding in his life. Remember Joseph's life. Joseph was given a time where he had some dreams while he was in prison. You remember that. And he had a dream about the baker, and he had a dream there about the butler. And he told them, and he interpreted the dreams for them. And then while he was there, he had interpreted the dream of the Pharaoh, of the king. All right, of the leader of the land. And he interpreted the dream, and remember, it was at one time where they had seven large cows, and they were eaten up by seven stalks of corn. And then they had seven skinny cows, which were eaten up by seven stalks of corn. He said, there's going to be 7 years of plenty where the blessings of God is going to be on the land, where you're going to have to set aside some things, you're going to have to store up for future use, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine, where you're going to have to draw from that which has already been stored up. And because of that wisdom that God gave him, he learned how to bear fruit properly. Listen, when God allows us to see blessings in our church, and when we are allowed to bear fruit as a church, and we see the salvation of souls, and we see the blessings on our lives as far as a church member is concerned, and we see God bless, and we see some different extra things come in, and we see blessings just pour into the church, we've got to be able to take and not use and abuse the blessings of God, but we've got to be able to reserve those blessings and set them up in store to draw from those during the times of famine. That's using the wisdom of God. That's knowing how to bear fruit. That's knowing and understanding what the will of God is for our lives. Here, Joseph had divine wisdom that came specifically from God. And he had to learn how to bear fruit properly. Secondly, in Joseph's life, you'll learn, as you study the life of Joseph, not only did he have to learn how to bear fruit properly, he had to learn how to forgive properly. There's going to be some times, listen, where we're going to have some big days, and there may be some people come to church because we're in a small town that you may be at odds with. And you don't let that bitterness or that issue that you have with so-and-so, whoever they may be, stop the Spirit of God from moving in the church service, but rather you spend that time praying for that person to get saved. Here, Joseph had to learn how to forgive. You say, who did he have to learn how to forgive? He had to learn how to forgive the baker and the butler. They forgot about him while he was in prison. They said, yeah, as soon as I get out, I'll let everybody know that you interpreted my dream. As soon as I get out, I'm going to get you out of this place. Have you ever been made promises by somebody they didn't keep them? Yeah. If you haven't, don't worry. You haven't lived long enough yet. It's going to happen. Promises are going to be made in your life, and people are going to break your promises. Amen. Any of you ever bought a car? Yeah, you were lied to, too. Amen. We all know how that goes. But he had to learn how to forgive them. He didn't let their breaking of a promise define him in that moment. But rather, he continued to help other people. He got exalted to a position of leadership there among the prisoners. And then he was let out of prison because the Pharaoh, he had interpreted his dream properly. Well, later on during that time, when there was a time of need, there were countless folks that would come to him. You know the story of Joseph. So he had to learn how to forgive the butler. He had to learn how to forgive the baker. But you know what? He also had to learn how to forgive the bordering countries that came to him during that time. Because remember, he was sold into slavery before he had gotten to Potiphar's house. He was sold into slavery to the Ishmaelites. Well, when he was promoted to that leadership position, there was no doubt because of the famine in the land, those same Ishmaelites that had taken him as prisoner and sold him as a slave had to come to him and humble themselves before him. They didn't even know who he was. But he had to learn how to forgive them because now there was a time of need where he needed to help them. You know who else he had to learn how to forgive? He had to learn how to forgive his brothers. Remember, his brothers were the ones that sold him into slavery. And when his brothers came to him, he had to forgive them. He didn't hold it against them. As a matter of fact, Hannah sang a song here recently. What they meant for evil, God meant it all for good. God meant it all for good. But he had to learn how to forgive in that moment. You see, there's going to be times where we have big days. And there's going to be some people that come in that may have wronged you. That may have offended you. As a matter of fact, Brother Brandon, as a matter of fact, right after church this morning, somebody had approached me. Brother Brandon was right there beside me at the time. And said they almost walked out in the middle of service. Because they didn't like the fact that we were honoring certain first responders because he knew them personally. And he was wronged. And I tried to tell him, look, we're going to love people. Sometimes you got to honor the position, even if you don't respect the person. Later on, he texted me this afternoon. I texted him back and I gave him a little bit of counsel over the phone, trying to help out in that different area. And I told him, listen, forgiveness is tough, but you got to learn how to do it. We've got to learn how to forgive. You forgive in this moment, and then you forgive in this next moment, and you forgive in the next moment, and then you forgive the next day, and then the next day, and you build on top of that. There's growth that happens. But understand, there's going to be times where we're going to have some big days and some people are going to come to church you may be at odds with. There are going to be some people that come to church that may remember your past. They may know who you used to be. They may know the lifestyle you used to live. But don't let what Satan may try to use in your life to hinder your service from God, don't let him do that. But rather, use it as an opportunity to learn how to forgive people. Here, Joseph, in his life, this is part of that deep, that couch of beneath. This is part of him drawing from that well during the dark times of his life. He had to learn how to bear fruit first. Secondly, he had to learn how to forgive. And then thirdly, he had to learn how to faithfully invest in others. Well, listen to this. He didn't let one bad experience from prison keep him from making a difference in someone else's life. Okay, remember, the baker and the butler forgot him while he was in prison. After that time, he was investing in all the other prisoners, and then he was elevated to a position of leadership. All right, are we listening? He was elevated to a position of leadership. Why? Because he continued to faithfully invest in other people. Listen, part of handling a big day properly is, yes, we've got to learn how to handle and bear fruit properly. We've got to learn how to forgive others as they come into the church. And we got to learn and understand that we can't allow some slight that happened in your past to be the reason that person dies and goes to hell. Their blood will be on our hands. But also, we need to know how to faithfully invest in others. And I've also got this written down, not just faithfully invest, but we need to know the freshness of investing. There are times where as you invest in someone's life and you begin to work with somebody, you begin to disciple somebody, begin to help somebody for the cause of Christ, you begin to teach them the ways of God, there's a joy that comes about because you get to see them grow for the cause of Christ. You know, there are some of you right now, you're going out of your way to pick somebody up for church. You are faithfully investing in somebody. And there are times where when you bring them to church, there is a joy that person has, and because of their joy, it gives you a fresh joy of serving God. You know what that is? That's the freshness of investing in others. You're faithful and faithful and faithful serving God and investing in others and trying to help others grow in the good grace of God. And because of that faithfulness, there's a fresh joy. There's a breath of fresh air that you breathe every time you see the joy on their face because you know you personally made a difference in someone's life. So then we got to come to an understanding in our personal lives of how many people are serving God today because of our impact. How many people are serving God today because of our influence? Joseph was a man who could have been defined by all the bad things that happened in his life. Now I understand, listen, we didn't take the time to go and look at the story of Joseph. I'm assuming that you know it already. Okay? We didn't take the time to go and look at all the difficulties that he faced. But he didn't let those moments define him. But he also did not let the big days define him. Because we are not defined by your worst moments or by your best moment. Okay? We're not defined by those moments. We're defined by our daily walk with God. And that's where we learn how to bear fruit properly. That's where we learn how to forgive properly. That's where we learn the freshness of investing in people. Listen, don't ever get tired of investing in someone's life. Don't ever get tired of making a difference in someone's life. There are people in our town that only you can reach. There are people in our town that will not listen to me. Brother Nick, there's people that won't listen to you. There are people that will not listen to certain others that are in this room. But many of you, you have an influence. You have an influence that somebody else may not have. It is no shock at all why God brought you to this church. The Bible says that He placed as He saw fit the members in the body. The Bible talks about how the members are fit, they are framed and fitted together perfectly for the Master's use. We understand that. Here, Joseph, he had to learn how to bear fruit properly. As a young 17-year-old boy, he didn't allow the visions that God gave him to cause him to be lifted up in pride. We cannot allow the devil to creep into our lives and think just because we had 93 2 weeks ago, just because we had 89 today, that, oh, wow, we've arrived as a church. Listen, we're not there yet. We're not where we need to be. You don't measure the growth of a church by the attendance on Sunday morning. You measure the growth by the consistency on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. That's how we measure the growth of a church. And we understand that. And Brother Throw and I, we've talked about this for years while he was pastoring here. You don't just make decisions as far as the church is concerned based on a Sunday morning crowd. Because there are people that will just come to church on Sunday mornings. But we understand the church is growing. Brother Brandon, you mentioned this a couple of months ago. It's exciting to see the fullness of a crowd on a Sunday night. It's exciting to see the fullness of a crowd on a Wednesday night. Why? Because that's evidence of God continuing to work in someone's life and them not allowing the devil to creep in. So we've got to learn how to bear fruit properly. We've got to learn how to forgive. Don't let your unforgiveness for somebody in this town to hinder the Spirit working in their lives. I was inviting somebody to church. Let me say this. I was inviting somebody to church a month ago. I'm talking to him about different things, and I shared with him different things, and he had something that was going on in his life. And I was like, oh, we've got a member that does that. Do you know so-and-so? He said, yeah, I do. I said, well, they go to our church. And he kind of just looks at me and hangs his head. I said, oh, is that not a good thing? He said, I probably won't be visiting your church. I said, brother, listen, don't allow one bad experience to define somebody. So how you may have known so-and-so could have been before they got saved. I have no idea. I don't know where your relationship went wrong, but don't allow that to define whether or not you're going to attend church somewhere. That's how the world operates, but that ought not be how Christians operate. We've got to learn how to forgive people. We've got to learn how to give others another chance. And then also we've got to learn how to faithfully invest in others. You see, in the ministry, one of the greatest things that we get to do is we get to help pick the pieces up when somebody hits rock bottom. It's difficult. Brother Thoreau spent countless times, countless hours in his office counseling with families that were broken, weeping with them. I've talked with many folks just over the last year trying to help in different areas. It's not fun going through those experiences, but you know what joy, what brings the joy? Seeing them get the victory in their lives. Seeing them allow God to piece things back together for them. I'll never get over watching the freshness of investing in people. And when we have big days like this, it's a breath of fresh air. Yes, listen, it can be tiring. Yes, I understand, you're worn out. But don't allow that to define who you are, but rather be excited. We had 13 visitors in church this morning. Be excited because we're beginning to break records. We're beginning to head the right direction. We're beginning to see growth. Get excited over that. Why? Because God's working. Because God's working. Now listen, I'll be honest with you. I was getting a little discouraged this morning. Okay? Because nobody walked the aisle and got saved. That was the whole purpose we had First Responder Sunday. Because you know, I preached my heart out. I shared my love for them. And nobody got saved. And you know what? After church, between here and talking with different folks, I went and put myself in my office, and I was a little disappointed because the Spirit of God didn't move like I thought. Not like I wanted it to. And some of you may have felt the same thing. You kind of wanted God to move. I got over there, began talking with different first responders that were here. I began to share that nobody had ever treated them with such love. That they'd never experienced that in a church before. You know what they did? They gave you a fresh breath of air. It's like, man, I know they may not have gotten saved today, but I know the seed was planted. And I know that they know there's a church in town that loves them. And when they go through a hard time, and when they go through a difficult day, and when they see our town on its worst day, and they need counsel, and they need someone to talk to, they know there's a place they can come to that's going to love them and going to show them the Word of God. So yes, we may not have seen all the things we wanted to see, but seeing the investment and getting that freshness, like, man, yes, I want to see souls get saved, but also want to plant seeds and leave the door open in case they didn't get saved, but they want to come back. Leave that door open. Plant that seed. Something we were taught years ago when I went through soul winning classes as a young person was even if somebody doesn't trust Christ there at the door when you're sharing the plan of salvation, you don't run them off. You leave the door open for somebody else to share the gospel. You leave it on good terms. And it's what we did today. We didn't see somebody get saved. But you know what? That seed got planted. That door's open. And God may work in their lives. And we never know. We may see them again. We may see them trust Christ on their own. I don't know. I don't know how God's going to work all that. But I do understand this. We have got to make sure that we approach big days in the proper manner. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed. Joseph here shows us how to bear fruit. Joseph here shows us how to forgive. But Joseph also showed us the freshness of investing in other people. And again, I know I didn't go to all the scriptures. Okay? You can go back and study the life of Joseph. You can go back and read the stories and the things that he had gone through. And I want you to do that. But I want you to also, as a church, I want you to understand how to handle the big days properly. And understand that God's got so much in store for us. Don't get discouraged because things didn't go the way you wanted it to. But understand some seeds were planted and God's going to bless. His word will not return void. That's a promise in Scripture. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truth of the word of God. Lord, help us, guide us, direct us, please. Help us to understand how to have a big day properly. Help us to understand that there's a well that we ought to draw from in those times where we don't always see the blessings. Use us, guide us. We'll praise you and thank you. We ask this in your name and pray. Amen. As the pianist plays, you come. As God's spoken to your heart.